Welcome to the Ether. Today is Tuesday, July 26, 2022. Today on the Ether, Cosmos, DeFi, and NFTs. A chat hosted by CryptoTank. Let's take a listen.
And I think what you were saying about those NFT projects and whatnot, a lot of what I hear with these NFTs, it seems like people think way too hard about what the long-term utilities and things need to be, especially like creating a game. I do not understand. Why, like, if you create a great game, then people will buy things in the game, you know, but if you put a huge barrier to entry in the game, then nobody's going to play the game. So that's not a long-term sustainable. I mean, look at something like Call of Duty Warzone, you know, they just, or any of those Battle Royale games, they're free to play. And where they make their money is people, you know, selling loot boxes, skins, things like that. And imagine if those were NFTs, you know, but.
Yeah.
That's where you can make money.
The business model for a lot of them, and again, I'm not trying to throw shade at them or nothing like that. It's just like, I've thought obviously long and hard, especially when it comes to Maneki, you know, of the business model and sustainability and actual, again, I know we're on Spaces, and I know Terra Spaces is here recording, so I have to be choosy with what I'm saying. But like, you know, I've thought long and hard about the whole roadmap, and it's really... When you think about all of the projects that are out right now, it really is. It's kind of like I really see, even for some of my friends, the long, sustainable on its own growth for the project. Like, and that's what we need to aim for, right? Like, we need to aim for NFT projects that have sustainability on their own for what they are, and shoot for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and even like profile picture type projects and things like that. If their main focus was art and community first, and they were actually, you know, extremely passionate about that, then the other things kind of fall, you know, in place. I mean, you can create a lot of utilities as the project goes on too. But you know, I think a lot of times people are just, I don't know, maybe they're just trying to sell things, honestly.
Yeah. Hopefully, SkyMonks, I see you trying to connect. I don't know. Hopefully, I think my net's good as well. Hopefully, and let me know, please, if it starts sounding weird, let me know, guys. What's up, Bambito? What's up, Eric? SkyMonks, you guys might want to try to drop in and reconnect. I don't know what's going on. Usually, my connections are pretty good. Sorry, my son has a machine gun that he's shooting over here. He's got one of those. He's got one of those gel guns that you see on Instagram nowadays. That like, it's pretty cool. Those freaking things are cool, but dangerous as hell at the same time. Of course, he's shooting his dogs right now with it. Let me get SkyMonks up here. Boom! Hopefully, it works this time. There you go. What's up, brother? Y'all let me know too if Cosmos DeFi starts up his space again. I was trying to message him. He said it. He got rugged twice. So I was like, I'll host it.
Hey, my mic's good. SkyMonks, if his is still isn't working, a lot of times I have to restart my
Twitch is our Twitch lately, but there you go. I heard something. I didn't hear much, but I heard something there.
Say it again?
There you go. I can hear you now.
Yeah, can you hear me now? All right, nice.
Yep, I can hear you now.
What's up, man?
Let us know your thoughts. Oh, okay, that's what we're hearing.
Yeah, so that's why you might hear something in the background, so I'm driving. What was the question again? I wasn't following.
No. So we were talking before we got rugged, right? We were talking about basically like use case for NFTs and value propositions for NFT projects. And one of them that we were talking about just recently was the whole gaming side of things, like, you know, projects that are like, oh, we're coming out with a card game, or we're coming out with like an MMO and stuff like that. Like, I, for one, don't see the long-term sustainability after the mint, like after the fact, without actually having to entice people to bring further liquidity for the project to grow. So again, it's kind of like one of those, your NFT doesn't actually bring you more value unless you bring more value to the NFT project kind of situation. And so that's what we were talking about. Like, not to say that some of them aren't working on that and doing really good progress, but my humble opinion, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say unrealistic, but maybe not so much thought out projects out there as far as NFTs that are trying to pump up that whole gaming aspect of things. And I just was kind of curious what everybody else thought.
Yeah, I think you got some point on it. The only thing I see with gaming NFT project is when the NFT becomes so expensive when nobody is able to play the game.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I'm like, I don't know how we can fight that. You know what I mean? Like, in the crypto space, we want to bring everybody in the ecosystem to play outside of crypto. But if the entry to the game is the NFTs, and the NFT is so expensive, how do you let everybody in?
It is, you know, and you do have a good point. Like, when does it become too expensive? Like, a lot of people, right, even if you're not thinking about, like, if you think about it, like, well, I guess what I'm trying to think of is, like, when you think of NFTs as far as, like, a subscription base, because that's basically what they're doing as well, right? They're selling a subscription base to people to say, you need to do this, or you need to do this to buy the mutant serum to mutate it even further, or you're going to need to do this to interact with our game. So maybe you have to buy another part of the NFT project to actually bring value to your original purchase. It's kind of like that subscription base, right? Like, a lot of people stop playing games because, one, they, you know, either don't have time anymore, or they've accomplished everything they want to accomplish with the game, and or two, they don't want to sustain their subscription base, or like the liquidity needed to keep adding value to the game that they've already purchased, aka the NFT. So it's a very interesting, the gaming side of things and them like trying to incorporate NFTs into games the way that they've been doing it is really, really interesting. Not to say that it can't be done, but I think that the approach needs to be kind of tweaked a little bit. I don't know how that is, to be honest with you. I don't know how exactly they can tweak it so their approach is more sustainable, or that the original mint is more sustainable. But it definitely, at its current form, when I look at it forward and backwards, at least in my minimal, admittingly, kind of way, like, I just don't see it being a very viable thing. Short term, sure. Short term, I can see, you know, especially for the projects, they gain a lot of liquidity from the people buying it, and, you know, they can do whatever that they want to do, whether they build further or, you know, they just say the hell with it and they move on to something else. But like, for the holders, the investor, which is where my mind always is, for the long term, for the IBC community, for the long term holder, where does that value for that original mint of the NFT start actually becoming a diminishing thing? When does it actually start backfiring in your face? Is it when you have to actually bring more liquidity that it stops actually being like feasible, or like, you know, what is it? So to me, it's a real simple thing. It's like, the minute I actually have to do something extra on top of what I've already done, like, again, it just becomes, I'm the liquidity and I'm being fed on from either the game or other holders, you know, that are doing the same. So it's like, when you really simplify things, right when you hit first base, I go, oh wait, holy shit, this isn't actually a good, in air quoting, investment for me to do. Like, if I just wanted to do it to have fun and blow $200 or whatever it is, like, that's a whole nother story. But like, most people buy NFTs because they want to get some kind of financial return, right?
Yeah, like, so for me, so far, I haven't seen any in a sense a gaming NFT that's might be lasting in the long term, because when you create a game, like you said before, the game not gonna last forever. There's like a retention time. People who play the game wanna play the game, not because they wanna make money, in a sense, because the game has to be fun, right? And if you add cryptocurrency into the game, that add a little bit of complexity, you know, in the game also. So you gotta think about all that aspect. And I feel like with the gaming industry in the crypto, I don't see how I haven't seen any good model yet. I don't know if anybody have any.
I don't know if you've ever seen Gods Unchained on the ETH side of things. They had something like, I don't know how long term it is, but they don't have a barrier to entry to their game, which I think that any game that's going to become popular, it shouldn't have a high barrier to entry. There's no way that you're going to attract a bunch of users. You know, I mean, I remember whenever I think it was PS2 switched to PS3 and you had to have subscriptions just to play the games. I quit playing PlayStation for years. Yep. Yep. Just because of that. Like, I refused to. So, you yep. know, it's...
You think about, like, even now, right, the current games, like we were just talking about, like Call of Duty, all these other things, like, technically the game's free. So anybody, like, the barrier of entry, like, you just come and you want to play the game, you can come play the game. But if you want skins, if you want that battle pack, if you want this and that, like, that's where I could see it being applied and used better. But, like, for people saying, hey, the baseline purchase of this NFT is going to get you this entry, you know, no matter what it is, whatever kind of game they're building, what kind of, you know, whether it be an MMO or a card game or whatever, when you tell people this baseline purchase is the thing to get you in, and then that value gets diminished with the growth of the game, like you can't proceed further without buying something else to mutate it into this other thing, or, you know, breed it with another NFT, you got to buy it again, like that, then that just becomes a subscription base and people get sick and tired of that shit. Like, people, you don't retain long-term users with subscription-based business model. Like, you can, right? But it's a turnover game. It's a numbers game all the time. And you have to always innovate and or have something new on the platform to recapture that subscription base. Like, it works better when you think of, like, movies like not NFTs, like Netflix and stuff like that, because they have partnerships with, you know, those movie, those productions, those directors and stuff like that. Hell, even, you know, you go to Netflix, Netflix has their own basic production team now. It's a Netflix original. You know, they produce it themselves. So it becomes a thing with NFTs in comparison, that you always have to produce. And so that initial investment of the NFT no longer is, no longer is the main focus. And I think, like, at least for now, the way things are being promoted and are done, like, we need to find a way that the NFT retains its value for the minters of the NFT long term and doesn't get diminished, you know, over time with needed actions. So,
good thing. Hey. What do you think about, instead of the NFT, when you mint the NFT is the access to the game. Instead, the NFT is you taking part of the growth of the game. So if, like, some of the revenue from the game get shared to the NFT holders, I feel like that's a better way.
Oh, like
a share of revenue. Let's say you could be part owner of Call of Duty in the beginning. That could have been a good investment.
Yeah, like an NFT that's a representation of, like, shares in a startup.
The bad thing is you sell securities, right? Like,
yeah,
yeah, like, it's a good idea, like in the TriFi world, like, that's all day, every day, right? But, like, you're definitely selling securities because you promise them some kind of return or some kind of a value.
And they ruin all of our fun.
yeah, and trust me, you don't want to do that. So that's it's one of those. How do I say this without dropping my own? Like, so that's obviously right. Like, I have a pretty good understanding of the way things work. At least I like to think. And one of the big reasons why I don't ever with Maneki promise any kind of return or guarantee, especially when it comes to value. Like, you're printing a Maneki or minting a Maneki because you want to own a Maneki. That's the only reason why you should ever print a Maneki, like, period. Right? Like, I just, like, and anybody that the problem right now is, a lot of projects, like, you have to, it's just the name of the game, right? Like, they find themselves having to make promises or make guarantees or make certain, you know, speculative, I don't know what I'm trying to look for the right word, but I don't want to disrespect anybody, but, like, honestly, whether they're validators doing NFT projects, whether they're NFT projects trying to capture minters, keep calling them printers, minters and stuff like that, like, vast majority, 9 out of 10 of them right now are saying, look, if you do this, you mint an NFT, you get this. you are basically right now still selling a security. It's not like you are. It's kind of different with validators getting discounts, but even then you're giving a valuation for the purchase of that NFT. So whether regulation ever does catch up, and I think 9 times out of 10, the vast majority of people are probably going to be able to skate by with it, because right now we don't have regulations and you guys are skating in a gray area. But like, it's still not a very sustainable thing long-term, because we all know that regulation is coming, right? So what happens when regulations get smacked on us, and then that business model or that practice of guaranteeing some kind of return on investment for that purchase is no longer feasible for the vast majority of people, that whether they're NFT artists, developers, or the validators, right? Like, what happens to everything for everybody that minted after that? It all goes to the trash. You just have to burn it. Like, right? Like, you can't keep doing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. But about the validator discount, I think the way to see it is more as a coupon. You get?
Yeah. That is definitely a more grayer area. And I can see that definitely skating by a lot easier. And like I said, I think, like, I don't want to fight anybody or nothing like that, or say you guys are doing it wrong. Because if there's a gray area to play in, fuck, go play in it, because that's where the profits is. Like, really, like, you guys know how I am with profit. Like, if so long as you're not doing anything unethical, you know, and stuff like that, like, hey, there's no regulations there. Go for it now before there is, right? Like, that's kind of how I feel about it, honestly. But as far as, like, especially now that I actually have an NFT project, like, I'm always I'm such a stickler, right? I'm such a conservative about business practices and longevity and stuff like that. Like, I don't ever want to get caught into a position when it does come, because I do see it happening, where regulation will say for NFT developers or launchers that, hey, you cannot do this anymore. You cannot, even if you did it in the past, you cannot keep practicing it in the way that you're practicing it. You got to shut it down, right? Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, period. They're going to go and set the standard on what the definition is for NFTs in between securities and or speculative investments, whether they're collectibles, like, right? Like, the way people promote them, they promote them like collectibles, but let's be real, they're not collectibles. Like, none of the fucking projects, other than like PFPs, like, are basically collectibles. The ones that don't say anything and just like, hey, print, and like, we don't try to give you any kind of value, definition for the NFTs. Like, those are the only ones that are going to kind of skate by with that.
So what about, what do you think about like a project that starts as like, art based, profile pictures, things like that, and then just kind of lets it, maybe even they push it in a certain direction, but the community kind of decides what the, you know, the use cases will be like that. Do you think they'd be able to skate around regulations in,
like,
the future?
Like kind of like ETHpunks and stuff like that, how like they just basically turned out to be a highly collectible thing because they were one of the first ones. Like, I know they weren't the first, but one of the first more popular ones, right? And like,
yeah,
there are, like, so we were talking about earlier in Cosmos DeFi's space, like, the way that I like to see fair market value, it was kind of funny that nobody ever brought up fair market evaluations for any asset, right? Is I think it's a lot healthier when the distribution is spread out amongst the people, instead of like the centralized whale wallets, right? Like, still, no matter how you look at that, if there's ever a centralized entity in anything, it's never good. Because, like, again, we don't have to talk about governance, but you talk about the manipulation and the power of the value being manipulated, because they hold the most weight. They hold the most power in their hand by holding that much, right? Like, same, you can see it easily if you look at Bitcoin. The big whales that hold the wallet, if they want to dump on us, they can manipulate us at will, right? Like, they can determine the market at will. That's not fair market valuation. So it's kind of like an inflated view of what the valuation of that certain asset is. In this reference, it's NFTs. So when we were talking about that, like, one, I get what everybody was saying, but when you have central points that hold a lot of anything, it's not a good long-term value case for that asset. Like, it's just not, right? Like, you can look at like gold, even though nobody actually knows the actual true amount that any one entity holds as far as gold. I can tell you right now, nobody knows how much gold there is out there in the world, but yet we value it at a certain value. How the fuck are we actually coming up with a fair value when nobody knows how much there is? Nobody knows how much any actual one country holds in its entirety. Nobody can tell me how much China has right now. Nobody. But I guarantee you they have the overwhelming pile of gold. But nobody can tell me how much they have. That's fucking dangerous. That's super fucking dangerous, right? Like, how are we actually given a fair market value of any asset when we don't know those variables, or when we know for a fact that those unknown variables are centralized and certain individuals hold big ass amounts, right? So like, again, we were talking about that in reference with NFTs, but to circle back, like, I think to answer your question, even though it got long-winded, things that start off and don't have like the push for any kind of value accrual, like originally, right? Like, you know, I can just say like Maneki or even the ETH punks, right? Like any of the punks and all that stuff. And it actually just happen with the community organically, and the community actually starts setting this fair market value because it's spread out. Like if you go look at those punks, there's some people that hold a couple of like punks or like a good amount, but there's like what, 10, is there like 10,000 punks? There's a lot of individual people that hold punks, and they're actually setting the floor for those punks. That's a lot more realistic long-term for the valuation of the NFT than it would be if any entity, whether it be the creators or an organization that is pushing to collect the vast majority of it to manipulate the price, then that will ever be, you know, in regards to that. So if the community does it on its own, and that's how we set fair market value, that's a lot more sustainable and realistic long-term than it is when people actually try to manipulate it unorganically, or, you know, they try to inflate it with whatever mechanism or business practice they think short-term is going to help pump the price. You know, like it's just not. Like, I know for a fact that a punk right now is probably in 5 years still going to be worth quite a bit, just because it is what it is, and that many people actually hold a punk, and it's hard to come by now, right? So it's just, you know, that's just the way I look at valuations when I look at any kind of project. It's just really hard to see NFT projects right now in the form and in the fashion that I'm seeing them, especially in the Cosmos ecosystem, being used, really without having to inject some kind of use case foreign to the original blueprint of the NFT, maintaining its valuation close to what the original mint was long term. Does that make it? I know that was really, really winded, but like, does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think people are going to have to do more of that. It's the, and games like NFT games and things like that. I don't know.
It's a time bomb. It's a ticking time bomb. Like, yeah, it's profitable for a little while, but then it's it will.
No, they're very centralized. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The founders, that's where you're going to have some trouble whenever there's a couple people that are kind of pushing the direction of the entire projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the regulations are going to come down hard on a lot of these projects, I think. But if you had something that just started out as artwork or something like that, and then the community, you know, they push the use cases and things like that, who are they actually going to go after, you know, long term? But
exactly. It has to be spread out. The risk has to be spread out. Again, it's kind of what I'm not saying Maneki is perfect and stuff like that, but I did take a lot of this stuff into account when I was, you know, road mapping the whole damn project. And admittingly, like, you will not sell out as much NFTs. You will not admit that the short term is a lot harder grind than it is for you know, doing it in reverse. You know, when you try to run down the hill and grab them all, right? Like, yeah, you're gonna initially grab a whole bunch of it, but probably a bunch of it's gonna fumble over time out of your hands. And when you get down to the end of the road, end of the hill, you're not gonna have as much as when you first started running down the hill, right? But if you walk down and you carefully pick the good ones and carefully store them away in your pocket or in your hand and get a good grip, like, you're more than likely gonna end up over a long period of time with just as many as you possibly could grab when you're carefully walking down, you know. And so that's kind of the approach that I wanted to take with Maneki, amongst many other things that I can't say right now, you know. And that's why I always said it's not for everybody. I don't want it to be for everybody. The price point was a lot higher than most because of certain reasons. And like, yeah. But anyway, like, again, I'm not saying Maneki is like the end all be all and it's going to solve everything. But it will. I can promise you one thing: it is going to flip the game on its head. NFT minters and or project developers are going to have to adapt after the fact. Like, it's not a call out or nothing like that, but it's the direction that I think is more sustainable and feasible. And if we want long-term adoption, mainstream adoption, we have to change the practices that we're doing as a community, and especially as developers, you know, and what we do. So it's not, it's just something that I'm hyper-focused on doing. So it's so bad because I have friends and I have people that I respect and developers that I respect. Like even, you know, I'll be very honest, like, you know, how, like most of what I said pretty much falls on to everybody that I talk to on a day-to-day basis that I like and that I respect and that I delegate to. And it's like, I'm basically telling people that you need to change. And it's how do you do that without like offending people? And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm being very honest. Like how I question how a lot of projects, this stuff, like 9 out of 10 projects in the Cosmos ecosystem and even outside are going to actually sustain themselves long-term without like, and I challenge everybody, without you bringing to the table some kind of extra liquidity that that a mentor has to bring, whether it be delegations, whether it be delegations to a validator, or whether it be an extra mint to foresee or to progress the original use case of the NFT that it was originally minted for the minters, how are you guys going to do that without those things happening?
All right, I get what you're saying. So you don't think launching validator node is a good thing? Because I feel like by launching different validator node and contribute to the network, that's another form of sustainability.
That's a double-edged sword, right? Like, so again, and nothing is perfect. There's always gives and takes, especially in investments, especially in trying to build things. There's always gives and takes. Anything that's perfect, I get really, really a lot more worried about, right? But like, here's my honest opinion about, and again, like I have like yourself and respected friends that I, you know, run validators, have NFT projects and stuff like that. For me, here's my problem, and I'm being just genuine about it, right? So you sell an NFT to either fund the operation of a validator node, right? And then on top of that, you're also asking people to actually bring their delegations, they're outside of that NFT, to get you there, to give them a benefit of the validation of running a validator node, right? Whether it be a discount or whatever you want to call it, a break, whatever it is. You're also asking them to, again, bring extra liquidity from their own pocket by moving their delegations to your node so that you can take advantage of it and give them a break so that you can sustain yourself. So again, I'm just curious, how can businesses, whether it be NFTs or not, actually build a long-term valuable thing for people to get into without asking them to take on more risk, more asking them to bring out of their own pocket more liquidity to actually make that first initial investment of the NFT more valuable? So like the only thing that makes that NFT more valuable is them, again, bringing more out of their pocket, right?
No, I know what you're saying, but the thing is, with a validator node, you need other people to stake with you. That's the whole point of a validator node. So by creating a community around your validator nodes, and also with scammers, I'm trying to do other things that's not related to the validator node. The first step to launch the validator node is to, on a point when we get big, let's say we get big enough, we might be able to do all of the development with the validator node using like some of those rewards to do like other project does. But why not? We're a small validator, so that's why we need the community to stake with us, because any validator, any node need the community to stake with them.
Definitely, but
if you launch an NFT and you use part of the capital you raise in NFT to stake with you, that's not going to be enough, because you do need the community. You need to provide value, because I know with me launching the validator node on Stargate, I want to contribute to the network. I'm trying to build analytic tool for NFT also in that aspect. So I do get what you're saying. NFT project need to think long-term about the sustainability. Are they going to provide value to the community? Are they going to provide value to the NFT holders? But there's like different ways.
Yeah, I want to add on to what I was saying, like, validators, right? Like, it is definitely a very unique situation, because you are providing a service after the fact that is beneficial for not only, you know, your delegators or the network that you are validating for and the ecosystem therefore within, So like it is again, nothing's perfect, and there's always something that could be thought of more, but like that's the only problem that I have with that whole play. Like, again, the valuation or the value that you're trying to bring still is only dependent on, like you said, the community sticking with you and or bringing their more liquidity even further after that first initial NFT purchase, right? Like, so again, like, you need to set up the node to get into the active set. You need to sell off the profits from the NFT. That's why you're making a promise of a discount for the delegations if they choose to bring the delegations over to sustain yourself into the active set. But then again, that still is taking on extra risk, and you're asking them to take on further, you know, further liquidity from their pockets and put it towards the end goal for, again, the NFT, right? But like, really, they didn't do anything but have to bring out their own pocket to reinforce the long-term valuation of the NFT.
No, like, I get, you know what you're saying. I don't get what you're saying, but the thing is, I don't see how it's a risk, because say you're on Stargaze network, right? People have to stake with a node to provide to secure the network, and also that's all you're earning.
Well, it's like,
that's all you stake. So
it's still a risk. Like, it's still a risk, because like, not to bring up stake like, whoa, but like, he didn't do this, but like, obviously, like, any validator can make a boo-boo, right? Like, oops. And like, 10% might not be a lot to a lot of people, but you still get slashed. You still get, like, you still have to bring more capital to it. So anytime you're bringing more capital, you always expose yourself to more of a risk. And that's what I mean by that. Like, I'm not talking about like the validator or the NFT project deployer themselves. I'm talking purely on the side of the mentor, of the investor, of the delegator. Like, that is an added risk. Not necessarily, again, for the project launcher. That's a benefit, right? Like, if you move your money over there, that just makes it easier for us. Like, that's what we want to do. But again, I'm not trying to come down on anybody. Like, I'm just questioning the long-term viability of it.
I like everything you do. I like that you're asking questions. That's a good thing about you. We need that in the Cosmos ecosystem.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, yeah. I just want to challenge people to like, yeah, think of their business plan too, because like, here's another thing, and crypto tech, I want to give you a chance too, but like, what if, so when people take profits, because they're going to take profits, right? Like, how do you entice those people to stay locked up on your validator node once the price does appreciate to a point where they want to actually sell and undelegate for whatever reason? Because again, it becomes like a subscription-based thing where you actually have to always somehow incentivize them to keep it up, to keep it up, to keep it up, to keep, don't unlock, don't keep it up, because then either you fall out of the active set or like none of that makes any more sense, right? So like, at some point, regardless of the bullishness of the NFT project, they're going to realize profits. If they're smart, they're going to realize profits. They're going to undelegate. They're going to stop putting more into that. At some point, it becomes a question for the NFT node operator now, because it's one in the same business, right? How do we keep pumping out NFTs and promising discounts and recapturing delegations long term?
No, because with Skymont NFT, we're not planning on launching another NFT for a node and all that. So the next collection we're launching will have different utility. But I forgot what I was gonna say. So with the validator nodes, each validator nodes, let's say in the Stargaze chain, they have to fight for themselves to stay on the active set. So that's what I'm trying to do with Atlas that validator nodes.
The one way you could do it, right, is like, obviously take the, like, don't delay gratification for your own validator and you know, like, keep pumping it back into your, like, self-delegating, right? Like, you have to negate all of that. Like, the validator or the NFT project has to put it back into the node or the operation so that they don't have to be dependent long term. They can self-delegate to themselves over time. But then again, you run the risk and you don't always want to have a high amount of self-delegation, even though some of them do it. A lot of node operators for security reasons definitely don't choose to self-delegate large amounts to their own node. But like, for that to actually be negated, everything I just said, the one way to do it is, and to show your community that you are vested over a long period of time, is to take your own rewards, roll that back into the operation of the node and self-delegate to the point where you can sustain yourself over time. But then again, if you're doing that, how do you maintain the discounted price that you're going to be giving everybody else? Like, it's always like an ever moving variable. And so like, that's, again, not to say that it's not like you can't accomplish it and it's not doable and it's not, you can't do it with genuine intentions and stuff like that. Because I believe Sky Monks and I believe you guys, but like, that's the questions that I have. One second, Crypto Tech, let me let you go first, and Amir, and then you can go. I've been speaking for a long time, I'm sorry.
I just have a point to make. I just feel like I have an idea that I just came up with while hearing everyone talk. You know, I feel like a lot of these profile pick, you know, collections may be better off if they do dual minting up front. Maybe the second portion of the mint would be a second side series that they monetize the royalties. I feel like that helps with the validator service as well. So a lot of these, like even Rebels, they have a different variety of their profile picks before the game, before whatever they're trying to do. So, you know, everyone's buying and selling these, the floor, the high prices, whatever, monetize the royalties. And I don't know if that impacts your royalty thought tank, obviously, but I'm just thinking that creates a second pool of funds to then draw into the ultimate validator node to help everyone out. And I just want to throw that idea out for discussion. Because like me as an investor, I want to monetize Space Ape's royalties. And I can't right now, as basically I, you know, buy and sell a few, flip, no big deal. I'm not really into it. But like, I want to monetize that royalty. I don't know how to do that right now, but I see it as an opportunity to help people form an expanded node operation service too as a second pool of money, where say I buy a royalty-based NFT versus the actual NFT to get a piece of that pie.
I think a node operator should start up a DEX and then launch a token and then incentivize things that way, because it seems to work well for other ecosystems. Kronos, Mad Meerkats, like, they did very well.
Yeah, there's definitely ways to go about doing it, for sure, for sure. And that's crypto tech.
Like, Uniswap's liquidity pools literally run on NFT tech, and you could do something pretty crazy with that. As far as I'm, like, you can make a whole DEX run off of NFTs, have NFT liquid staking, and like, it's endless, you know. You could, but I think all the validators should get together, maybe, and that run NFT projects, maybe start up a DEX of some kind. I don't know.
That's you can start like Sky Monks and everybody else. Like, you guys could start a cold, I don't know though, because then again, you go into that, I don't know. That's a good, I gotta think about that. You don't want to have a collective. Well, maybe you do. You know, there's
the question is, how anonymous are you?
Yeah. I gotta think about that.
Dude on secret network.
Amir, go for it, bud. Let me get.
Hi, Tank Grids, Jacob. I get what you're saying, Tank, about the investors having to add value every time, like with the validated node and bring in more funds and whatnot. But this is like, not taking Sky Monks for example, but even like for example Amazon or Apple, they will give another product and we choose to buy it, it's like an investment basically. So you get a MacBook Air and get the iPhone and whatnot, and the same thing with Sky Monks, they will run the validator node, and then you, it's another service. So you're staking and you're securing the chain and getting rewards. So it's just another product, another revenue for you also for the project, and also for you, like it's an exchange, you know, exchange of services, of products, and it's also applies to DeFi, that they will have a lending and swapping and DEXs and all this, and everybody has to bring in new money. That's the name of the game, basically.
I actually really, really agree with you on that. Like I said, I don't want to sound like an ultra bear, right? Like I'm just that guy that always thinks in that like long-term sustainability. And to be very honest, a lot of times I think that way because I don't want to work harder anymore. I want to work smarter. I don't want to have to keep, and I don't want other projects to have to keep pumping out shit. So like, I'm always continuously thinking about like, how can myself and other NFT developers and or even validators, because now they're one and the same, right? Like do things smarter instead of harder and always having to play this, you know, this, here's something new, here's something new, here's something new. It's a fucking rat race. It's a means of services. And when you look at it that way, it definitely makes sense. Like all Sky Monks is doing Now that they have a validator nodes, they're providing a very, very important means of a service that is beneficial to the ecosystem, and you get something in return. So when you look at it that way, like all of that, like if you just keep it simple like that, like yeah, like, then it doesn't really matter, right? But like then, I'm always trying to think of like the worst and all that stuff. So I agree with you. Sorry, go ahead.
There's also the variable of exactly what you're saying. The smart being smart about it is the time variable that we often forget. Like the investor doesn't have to like right away buy this get into it, you know. And of course of having also the clear mindedness to not fall in love with the project and take profit, like you keep saying. But the timing variable is as soon as something new comes out, you don't have to buy it right away, and you can just temporize it. And another thing about time, it's a complete opposite. And this is a question about Maneki that you will be able to answer me. It's going to cut off. The minting is cutting off on August 1st, right? But can you like leave it until the end of the day, the August 1st?
I'm getting some paychecks.
I need to cash in some checks.
We were talking about that just recently, and I'm glad you said it, because I also want to obviously leave that up to the community. Like speaking of that last number here, like I was talking to Jerry, them like, when should we cut it off? You know, I know that people are across the world, and we try to do that. Even with our whitelist and the mintings on that, we tried to give it a really wide range so that, you know, we're not cutting off people. And like, admittingly, I actually wanted to cut off selfishly the minting earlier, because again, the focus was never the mint. But again, some people get paid weekly, some people get paid biweekly, some people get paid monthly, and we wanted to take that into account. So we will try to stretch it as far as we can as far as the cutoff time. And we could like do it, 12 o'clock, at the
last one, time
11:59 PM Central Standard Time here in the States, so that, you know, hopefully the rest of you guys are already on to your next day and you guys have already gotten paid. So if that's the case, if people are waiting,
that's good. It's one thing I never understood it. Like the time, I'm always about the time variable, right? Why don't all these NFT projects, don't they have like a, of course, minting out is quite important, you know, not to Maneki, but to most project and even to investors, collector wise, we see as minting out as a proof of something that is a great project, which it doesn't necessarily is the case. But why isn't this variable taken into account, like burning like 10% each every 2 days, burning 10% of the supply, burning 10% and then it will just you know.
I think that works for different projects. It just depends on what the project goal is. And I agree with you. Like one of the things that I've always found kind of frustrating is like the stigma of minting out, like, oh, we minted out in a couple hours, so that means we're successful. Like, no, that really doesn't mean shit. Like, that just means you're cheap enough for a lot of people to fucking mint. That's basically all it was. Like, it has nothing to do with the valuation of the project and or like, you know, like, we have Knots here, and I want to get Knots and their opinion, what they wanted to say just a minute ago. But like, you know, and like not just Knots, but a lot of projects were recently, like they didn't mint out, that have really good or better than some of them that did mint out use cases, right? Like, or value props than in comparison to some. But like, that does bug me. I hate like when people think like, oh, if it didn't mint out, that means it's shit. Like, no, that's not at all what that means. So what's up, Knots?
I have a random anecdote to my DEX idea. Like, the future is cross-chain NFTs, right? So why not build a hub for that marketplace on top of a DEX, and then have some sort of onboarding system, you know, how we were talking about spaces going to other ecosystems and doing joint spaces and shit like that. Like, why isn't that all one thing? It'd be great.
I think Loop Finance is working on something like that, but it's not the same place, like you said. But Loop Finance is doing the Loop, the DeFi and the NFT marketplace. Also.
Yeah. Close. Very close.
Wait, Knots, do I have Jerry or do I have
Jerry?
Do I have Russell?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks. No, it's Jerry. Jerry from Knots, co-founder of Knots. What a great room here. We got Jacob, Gritz, Crypt Tank, Emir, CTB, Terra Spaces, Lil Gaines, Eric, Chris, Larry, Jay Smiles. I know all you guys, and we see some new names down here. Wow, what a cool room, man.
We're just missing Cosmos DeFi NFT. He got rugged us, and he never came back.
Yeah, he was actually he invited the Bushi guy up. Well, he invited the Bushi guy, Leon, I guess, the guy from Bushi, and then he, like, accidentally, I guess, closed the app or something.
Oh, no.
You know, Tank, I wanted to congratulate you. It looks like the Maneki Cosmos is really heating up again. People are starting to understand that there's a lot more to this than just an NFT here.
I'm floored, Jerry. I'm floored. You know, you guys saw, I messaged you guys first thing. I was like, holy shit. Again, the minting out was never the end game goal, but like I'm just absolutely floored. I honestly think we'll get to 20% and like that's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. I think 20% is very possible. I think that you know, people are understanding, yes, you're buying an NFT, but there's a whole community behind it, and there's Tank and his really incredible team running it. I'm excited, man. I'm honored just to be part of the community. I grabbed a Maneki. I know Rusty grabbed a Maneki, and in fact, we're buying a Maneki for Knots, and we put it into our 8-ball. So somebody who buys an 8-ball down the road here is going to actually win a Maneki here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is awesome.
So, and it's great to honor other creators like yourself in Cosmos, you know, just by doing some like cross promotion like that, because, you know, Tank, I know that you're going to be, you know, Maneki's not a 1-month project. It's not a 6-month project. It's going to be here 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You're here to build Cosmos just like we are. So I'm just honored to be part of it. And we love to put in other creators who think just like us. Jacob, I see you here. We put one of your Sky Monk. We bought a Sky Monk today, actually, and we got a Sky Monk in the 8-ball set. So we're gonna have a Sky Monk. Somebody can win one of those too.
Jerry, that is so cool.
Why don't you guys take a page from the Alley's book and start a vault for your NFTs? You know.
Okay. Yeah. No. I think we. I love there. You know, it's great to connect with other creators and build Cosmos together. There's plenty of room for many winners. We all have different, you know, abilities and things that we can bring to Cosmos. And I've been talking with Rusty, and yeah, I'm definitely, you know, we've been buying other NFT art, and we're building up, you know, our own NFT vault. And we're going to be doing it for like giveaways or like.
Is there some way you could do that, but then have it somehow support floor prices of your existing projects? Is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, just that's a great question. I haven't thought about it, but if there is a way, that's really interesting, because yeah, you always want to look out for your supporters, your customers. You want to look out for that long-term floor price. And that, you know, that's what I love about a lot of the Knots projects is we have that utility built in, but you know, for other NFTs, you want to do something to keep that floor up for us.
Maybe when they have like liquid staking, like you could stake your NFT in Stargaze, maybe you could make a feature that takes the staking rewards and then does something with them off of the NFTs for the vault, and has those rewards build up some sort of pool that you could do other things
there with. Admittedly a lot of different things that are coming here, like shortly, Loop, like Stargaze and all that stuff, being able to stake, and even DAO, like there's a lot of really interesting things that NFT.
I've had like 15 ideas in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to watch what developers of NFTs do with their communities, and especially the ones that have partnerships and or are now running their own validator setups. Like, it's going to be really, really interesting, especially in the Cosmos ecosystem. Super interesting. Yeah. I'll just see what happens.
Interchain accounts also.
Like, so that's going to be, my mind just goes.
NFTs.
I immediately start looking up at the ceiling and like start referencing like all these ideas that I'm writing out in my head. Like, there's so many.
I was telling Cosmos DeFi, like, why don't we have a more operational technology designed into NFTs? Like, we got a whole bunch of IT stuff, like solutions, like it's all IT. Like, why don't we have like some sort of, I don't know, like robot army controlled by blockchain building something, but using NFT tech to do all that, you know? I don't understand why it's like the most basic thought. Like in 10 years, that's how everything's going to be run. Like all these like little, you know, mechanisms that they're like, you know, burning and, you know, decay and all that. We're going to be using all that in the future stuff for like agriculture and probably like insurance, you know.
Yeah, machine, I feel like maybe AI technology might be more.
Yeah, not even getting into the possibilities of that. Like the PS Labs thing is pretty cool. Like I would actually like to take a token and then render something on their platform and actually watch it come out and be rendered. But there's, you know, they do in batches to save power and shit like that. But I would actually like a more fit, like physical experience as a user if I'm going to be rendering my own AI NFT stuff like that. I don't know.
I think it's just it's going to come in time. Like I think that's stuff that's going to develop, you know, as all these other things start coming out, especially in our ecosystem. Like I said, and when it does, like it's just going to be mind blowing. And before I forget, I just wanted to kind of add on to what Jerry was saying. Like I'm super excited, and Maneki is going to be around for years to come. The original, I can say this, and this isn't, you know. I can tell you right now, the way that it's set up is a little bit of alpha, I guess. But what you've already gotten when you minted a Maneki is going to last you years and years and years. And there's nothing else that you need to do. Nothing else that you need to do. I wish I could say so much more right now. Hurry up first. But yeah, and I'm super happy to build and like, when I think about it, like I know, you know, launched it and all this other stuff and had the idea, but I had to buy Maneki just like everybody else. There's no free Manekis whatsoever. And I'm so happy to be part of this community and to build something that I think is going to be innovative long term with you guys. Like I'm super, super excited. So I'm in the mud just like everybody else. I'm fully vested just like everybody else. There is no free anythings when it comes to Maneki. To be a part of it, you just have to mint one. And so I'm super excited. I think we're going to get to 20%, Jerry. So,
yeah, you know, every Maneki has a unique purpose to it. Every Maneki counts. And I love how you're doing this. There is, like you said, there is no freebies. If you buy one, you buy one. You've had to buy them, Tank. I bought them. Rusty's bought them. If you plan on doing giveaways down the road, it's like some kind of big giveaway, you're going to want to grab some Manekis before we have to close up shop here.
Yep.
Man, I'm glad somebody else is doing that. Like, I kind of felt weird, like, not doing whitelist or giveaways, but good on you. Like, get after it. This isn't just a, you know, free giveaway show. No. Some people got to, you know, actually pay to get their shit built, you know?
Yep. There's fees. There's dues, man. Stuff is... I wish things were free. I wish people would just like build for free. So
God, we'd be a lot further along here if people just built for free, but you know, people got to pay for food and gas and housing and all that shit.
Exactly.
You know, and just to play on that time crash, I think the whole like freebie NFT thing is already fizzling out. It was like a really it was like a brush fire where, you know, everybody kind of jumped on board to do like, oh, it's a free mint. Well, you know, it's a free mint, but then they like have a 25% royalty and it's gimmicky, you know. If you're an artist and you're really here in your creator, obviously you're going to have a price within, you know, you're going to ask for a price to make it work.
Yes, sir. I will say, though, we do have, because I just threw something up there, but I honestly, I hope there is a royalty of a 5% there. I hope that never, ever. I know there's some Manekis on the market right now, but I hope that never actually gets used. I really hope that royalty never actually gets used. So what's up, Rusty? I see you down there. Cosmos DeFi, is he still here? Where'd you go, buddy? There you are.
Yeah, he's back.
What happened? Yeah,
I got rugged and I got pissed off. And I just threw my phone to the side. It's the second one in a row. I was giving someone the microphone and it just got screwed up. But
dude, hey, you know what Hossus does? He uses two phones. Like he uses one phone for inviting and talking, and then he uses the other for.
I am gonna buy another phone. My phone's really old, and it's time to get a new one. But
how do you explain that, by the way, to the Verizon or the Apple store? When you're like, well, what are you buying this for? This is just strictly to do spaces.
Well, I'll keep this phone only on the Wi-Fi, not connected, and I don't know, man. I don't like buying new electronics, but I guess I have to.
You know what I hate?
Buying new electronics.
This phone's 5 years old.
I hate not being able to do this shit on my fucking desktop.
Yeah, true.
I fucking hate it.
They need that. This would be so wonderful with my...
I'm on desktop.
What?
Yeah, but I want to add BlueStacks onto my fucking... I guess I could. I'm complaining. I guess I could do it, but like...
I just minted some 8-Balls, and I got What's That Smell? Is that the most rare one?
Oh, no, you didn't. I love that one.
Yeah, I got What's That Smell?
I love it, man. That I came up with that one. I'm so proud of it.
That's my PFP. I'm going to change my PFP. But I was thinking, I want one that says, take profits next time, idiot. I want that.
Yeah, oh, so we have that. We have all sorts of like basically it's financial guidance for those that don't want, you know, to pay for financial guidance and whatnot. This is a cheap and easy way.
This was great financial advice.
Yeah. Or I mean, if you have some kind of mental issues, just grab an 8-Ball and talk to it. It'll work.
Probably just as good as some people's financial advice on YouTube.
You know, Jerry, I was going to print out my Netonaut as one of my holographic images behind me, but I might just do the 8-Ball instead.
8-Ball, what's that smell?
Right next to my Maneki, it's almost that NFT is almost like a golf club because it's all the old guys bought it, it seems.
I was hoping to get that one. I tried. I bought like 7 of the 8-Balls myself. It's just, they're fun. They're like only 100 stars. So you can just.
Whose idea was it? It's a great idea.
Me, Rusty and I, we throw stuff at each other and sees what sticks. So we bounced it off. Actually, we were going to both do 8-Ball and then like the fortune cookie one. But somebody actually came out with fortune cookie. So I was like, Rusty, we can't sit on 8-Ball. We got to go forward with it. So, and you know, we like to do quality. So
they were good.
The last fortune cookie I got was trash. It said literally like, you will be the best at whatever. It literally said that.
He's like, <"It's> whatever. That's very low effort.
I'm not even kidding. I saved it for the longest time. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous fortune cookie I've ever had.
Whatever you want to do, you're the best.
Those fortune cookies were made in America.
Yeah.
you'll be the best C+ student out there.
But the 8-Balls, it was our first play with MP4, so we were playing with lighting effects. It's more like a live NFT, and it's come out cool. Like our artist had not worked with that before. He's very talented, but he had to work with our very talented NFT engineer in learning how to do like MP4s, because there's many layers within the layers of NFTs. So there's a lot of work there, but he came through and it's cool.
You saw the one that I sent you, right? Where the picture just goes on forever in the digital art.
Yes. Oh, I love that, Gritz. And somebody else was saying that we should collaborate with other creators. I think that's cool. So like Knots kind of like does its thing and zooms in, and then like Jacob would pick up from there and do like an Atlas DAO version. And then you zoom in, then you have like a time crash thing, and you know, just keep zooming in and zooming. I think that's really cool that, you know, if we could link it, like sew it all together so each creator had a zooming effect.
Just me. I don't know how you do that, but maybe it's some sort of super high resolution first. I don't know.
Okay, I zoned out for a second there. Jerry, repeat all of that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, man. No, somebody was, Gritz, you were sharing it earlier, right? It's like in a movie, like if you're zooming in and then like you see like somebody holding a mirror, and then within the mirror, there's like a whole nother picture. And then you zoom into the mirror and there's like a TV set. And then, you know, you just keep doing it.
Goes on forever.
Yeah. It goes on forever. And it's a really, really cool, like, GIF or GIF, whatever you call it, that just zooms forever. And I was thinking, how cool would it be for all the NFT creators to have, like, their own zooming part within that and to sew them together?
And you zoom in, like, far enough and tell a story or, like, a whole new scene or, like, whatever, you know. You could do anything with it, really.
Like a
celebration. You know, I know somebody who knows how to do it, too. I'll look into this and see if I can start working on it.
I'll send you the picture, or I'll send you the example.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, take my money. What's that? You know that meme where it's like, oh my God, just take my money. If you can do that, take my money. I want one.
Yeah. You know, I was, that's a good one for 8-Ball. I was talking to Rusty. I was saying if the 8-Balls do well, we need to do like an 80s 8-Ball with all like the 80s sayings that were happening back then and like a 90s version of it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. But just going back, that what's that smell? Cosmos DeFi, you're lucky.
if there's any 80s themed collection by Knots, take my money.
I know, right? But how many old guys are there? There's like me, you, Rusty, Tank. What? How old are you, bud?
41.
Okay, so yeah, you're an oldie.
I'm not old, but I grew up in a very poor place, so everything I had was old.
I think we're actually all old.
If you're over 40, you're a boomer in the crypto space.
I've been in crypto for 10 years now, but yeah, my husband almost 40.
See, Gritz, you're an experienced crypto trader, but you don't have that boomer status till you hit 40.
No, I started young.
Yeah, his soul is there, though. If you've been in crypto for 10 years, your soul is definitely in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, crypto will age you, too.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding.
That's you got to multiply whatever, however long you've been in by four. And that's how,
like,
how
looking back just like 4 years, man, I was a fucking idiot. Like, holy shit.
I only have to go back like 4 months.
Four months, I feel like an idiot.
Hey, we all need to just go back to when Juno was 46.
Hey, that makes us all feel like idiots. Yeah, hold on. That's not cool, Jerry.
But you know,
why you gotta fire shots, Jerry? Come on.
I know, right? Hey, Jerry was there too. Believe me, Jerry has a very heavy bag. but it's like a mixed blessing, right? I feel so bad for the Terra ecospace, but it was a huge blessing for Juno because the amount of people coming in from Terra to Juno is just, these people are so high quality. The amount of work being done, Juno is just blowing up. So it's a mixed blessing to see an entire ecosystem collapse, but then Juno just to like, you know, absorb that and watch it just grow so quickly.
Well, you know, to be honest, nobody's going to like this opinion. I don't even like saying this, to be very honest with you, but what happened in Terra is a blessing for the entire space. I don't want to say that, and that means like, I know a lot of people.
I don't know, money. I agree with you.
But that's what I mean. A lot of people lost money. I don't want to say make it sound that way. But let's be honest. Like what happened recently with Terra and Celsius and all these overextended interest plays and stuff like that. Not healthy. Not healthy for our space at all. Was like, and now that it's gone, and now that you know that is what it is. We can get off to a better footing, a more realistic footing, and grow without those cancerous kind of platforms for people to be speculatively long on, which was it wasn't viable anyway, like long term. Like in hindsight, it's easy to say that now, right? But like, you know, it is what it is. So like, it is sometimes hard to see it that way, but it was a blessing for the entire, not just Juno, but the entire space.
It's true. And people now going forward can start to ask questions like, where is this APR coming from? How long is this going to last? Do I need to have as much exposure to this as I had the last time? I definitely hear what you're saying. And I think it needs to happen to more protocols and more chains before there's like a cleansing and those devs kind of consolidate onto fewer chains. And I think they could build even better stuff the second go around.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much. I'm about to head off now. Thank you very much. I wish you all have a good night.
Later, brother.
I put my tweet up in the pinned of this chat, and I'll give one out to anyone that retweets. As long as I get 10 retweets, I could give one out. Do it!
I love it. Thank you. That's awesome, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. I like it. You guys definitely do like above and beyond with the artwork that doesn't even need to be that good. And especially I looked at the Netanot, and when I minted it, I was like, damn, I must have got like the best one, but they all look like that. I thought I got like the most rare Netanot, but I'm like, nah, this collection is just really, I would say, like very detailed, and the colors popped and it just looked really good.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I personally love the Netanot too. it's an incredible artwork, and we made it so like if somebody wanted to zoom in on the face and make it like their Twitter portrait, their PFP, they could totally go that way. Or if they wanted to zoom in on shield or sword, they can do that. Like you can zoom in on these things and they're going to be super clear no matter where you pick it, or you can just keep the whole picture. So it was a lot of fun. But I know a lot of people are actually looking forward to the Osmonauts. And side note on that, me and Rusty decided today we're pulling out of Asset Mantle. So we're going to be pulling out of that and looking to redeploy on a chain that we feel, you know, best supports Cosmos.
How about
chain,
Osmosis?
What chain? Tell us now.
Osmosis. Osmosis.
We haven't picked a chain yet, but we're pulling out. We're not going to deploy on Asset Mantle. The work of, you know, all you, you know, you guys all here, you know, you've been doing the homework. You've been doing the Twitter spaces and, you know, really getting down into it. And Rusty and I were both like, nah, we're not putting the Knot's name on this. No way in hell. So, you know, we love our supporters and we've built up a name that you can trust and depend upon. And it just looks way too shady for us. So
yeah, I do want to add to everybody because I actually, since I actually talked to him today for Omniflix, right? And we had a really good discussion and I actually told him this. I do want to, even though, you know, I speak with Jacob, I speak with Rama, I'm one of the more vocal ones about what happened and stuff like that. I do want to remind everybody that doesn't mean that Comdex isn't building. That doesn't mean that Persistence and Asset Mantle isn't actually going to still be around. I just don't like, and we don't like, the practices that were being done. And so you got to actually sometimes take a moral stance on like who you want to interact with and how you want to interact with them and do business with. And so, again, I agree. And I want to applaud you and Jerry, you and Rusty, Jerry, for taking that stance and saying, you know, we don't want to promote that kind of business practice, you know, in regards if it's actually like, or, you know, because it's a gray area, right? Like some people say there's nothing wrong with it, and other people obviously have problems with it. But I support you guys on wanting to pull. Sometimes, hey, the best way to protect yourself is pull out, right? Anyway, you got to do what you got to do. So I just want to kind of set that standard out there. I'm not trying to FUD them. It is what it is. We're calling out what's on the chain for everybody to see, and it is what it is. So
there also needs to be some scrutiny, and this is the beginning of it. You can't just have like, you know, 500 chains out there and no one ask any questions, especially if there's tokens with no products. And I think that's the most annoying thing, is that there's, you know, if it was like one chain that got delayed, but it seems to be a bunch of them and some of them are connected to each other somehow, there needs to be some scrutiny. And
that was the biggest deal, right, with Comdex?
Yeah.
Like that,
if
that
they could, listen, if that they could come forward with some legitimate answers and say, look, yeah, we were falling behind and we could have done some things differently, but here's our new plan. This is what we're going to do. Here's our communication and yada, yada, yada. That would be totally understandable, but it seemed like they played the defensive.
Well, the kicker, like, right, that all of that wouldn't have been, if they had a product out, any product, like whatever, like because now they have many different things they're trying to do, right? But if they just had synthetics out like they originally were trying to work, like it'd be a different thing. But you've been selling a token that has no product for a long time now and practicing, again, I don't want to get into, you guys already know, like, they, you know, things weren't agreeable and things weren't forthcoming in a proactive way to the community, in a transparent way to the community. They had to actually get caught before they actually came forth and said anything. So again, it's just not to say it's all gray, right? Like it's all how you perceive it, but I just didn't agree with it. A lot of people didn't agree with it. I think that's what it is. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, though. That doesn't mean that Comdex isn't going to be around. That doesn't mean that Asset Mantle won't still, you know, be around and stuff like that. But it's definitely kind of hard to want to support those kind of those actions, especially with the response that came after. So again, I just wanted to let everybody know I'm not trying to FUD them, but I also agree with Knot's, Jerry and Rusty, and the decision they made to pull their project and look for a better platform to launch. So
I kind of knew that they were going to eventually do that. I'm happy that you guys did. Yeah. These guys are not going to mess around with Asset Mantle, who keeps pushing back their launch date. These guys want their NFTs out there and the people want them. This is not like a collection that no one cares about. This could be your best collection, only because I'm going to go ahead and assume that most people have decent sized holdings of Osmosis and they want the utility, you know?
Well, I know they're here right now. And I'd still say this. You guys know I'd say this even if they weren't here, but they're stand up guys. Like the whole team behind Knots, like I can speak firsthand. They're stand up guys. Their morals are there. Their ethics are there. I'm not surprised at all that, like you said, like I expected them to kind of, pull out and move on to something else. But yeah, again, like I'm glad you guys did. So.
You know, and that's a blessing in Cosmos is that it's an ecosystem where each chain is sovereign and it's growing. It's growing exponentially and we're going to have more marketplaces and more choices. Rusty and I, we love to endorse and to help new marketplaces grow. But on the same time, you know, we put a lot of time into building a name you can trust, a name you can depend upon. And we're not going to tarnish it by just, you know, trying to like sell out to whatever chain happens to come along. And I am so appreciative, and so is Rusty, of the people who have done the homework. I think Rama and Robo and so many others, you know, the people who can look into the data really brought up, you know, the iffy, questionable, unethical things that are happening in Cosmos. And you guys are right. Like, you know, you guys can, I'm sure Comdex and Asset Mantle are going to be around. You know, this isn't like a death meal on them. They can even come around, they can apologize and say, you know, we're going to try to make things right. And that would be great. You know, it just sometimes just owning up. Rusty and I have made mistakes. We've made mistakes with our NFT series. And we, you know, you just own up and you try to do better and you do it right. So there's potential to turn the boat around to right the wrongs. But in the meantime, yes, you know, Knots itself, we're pulling out of Asset Mantle. There's really great chains out there. We have Loop Finance coming out, launching with Juno. We've already launched on Hopers. We have Omniflix. We have Stargaze. There's really great chains out there to support.
The cool thing about it, though, is like, where else? Where else could you pivot? Like, you know, like what other ecosystem can you do that and just go, oh, look at all the choices I have. Like, you know, there are, like, don't get me wrong. There is, you could do that some places, but like, man, the Cosmos ecosystem, right? That's so Cosmos. That's so us. Absolutely love it though. Absolutely. What's up, B? I saw you come up here. I'm sorry. We were talking our heads off over here. What's up, girl? How you doing? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening. I want to like chime in, but like every time I want to chime in, somebody says something really cool. And I was like, oh, what I had to say wasn't as cool as that.
No, you gotta jump in there and tell us, guys, shush it, boys. I gotta speak.
Bees, you're great, Bees. You're working with Levana now. You can keep us up to date. And Levana's a huge project coming into the Juno ecosystem and the Cosmos.
Wait a minute. She's doing what?
She's a mod for Levana.
No, I've been a mod. I just didn't tell people.
Why are you not telling us these kind of things, B?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to walk around and be like, hey, guys, my name is Bees, and I'm a mod. Like... Well, what are you doing today?
Tell us what's going on. Do we need to know anything? What's going on over there?
I mean, essentially, they have the Dragon Cave coming out, and that should be open where you can port over if you got a Dragon wallet and you have all of your NFTs from Terra. They're doing the migration over to Juno this week. So went and migrated my stuff. It went smooth. I had no issues at all. Yeah, so now it's sitting on the Juno chain and I'm just waiting to, I got to pick my dragon and stuff like that. And now I'm just waiting to, for me to be able to access it on the chain. So I just initiated it essentially. I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous. I just want it to come to a head already. I want my egg to crack, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Hey, I'm super impatient, especially even with the Maneki. The first can't come sooner. I get it. I'm super impatient. I'm one of those kids, like even growing up, like when Christmas was coming around, I would purposely like drug myself to go to sleep faster. But no, yeah. Hey, why don't we, now that I have somebody that I know, if the team would ever want to come on the show, like, hey, I'm more than willing to have them on the show.
Oh, I mean, I definitely I'll let Dragon Hodel know, because he handles that aspect of it. But for sure, I'm always trying to push Levana, but I think it's because I'm scared of what's gonna happen to my bags.
Hey, Bees, I think you should go on the show. I think I told you before, you have a great radio voice. You know, there's some voices that sort of like hold the listener, and you've got one of those. You don't. You know, when Tank brings somebody on the show, he doesn't want a snore fest, and you just have a really good voice to bring the listener in and explain things in a regular Joe way, right? I mean, you're just...
I'm a regular Joe. I mean,
you're a regular Jill.
I don't know. I'm a regular Jill, so, I mean, essentially, I was a process improvement manager way back when I was working, and, like... Well, not that long ago, 2 years ago, but now that I'm not working, it's nice and I don't have that stress. But because of your mind is always trying to fix things,
still working on
it. Like my mind is always working at, like, looking at, okay, this is what's going on. How can this be improved? So I'm always, even if it's just a place that I'm hanging out in, does that make sense?
Yeah, I call that the builder mindset. That mindset goes across many fields. Like as a mechanic, that's pretty much the same story. You never stop thinking about how, like, if it annoys you, you're gonna be like, why is this like this? I need to fix this or make something better.
And then I also want somebody to talk to me in a way that I can understand, or, you know, I don't want to use really big words just so I can sound important, you know, like I don't want to be like, I did a study and I've, you know, figured out.
No, that you're really good at that. These wallets, I have the opposite problem.
You know, these wallets, they don't work, you know, with the whatever, and then they start just going off in this tangent, and like I understand big words, and if I sit there and I listen to them, I know them. I just don't feel like using them when I'm communicating with people.
You'd be perfect on this show because I don't use big words at all, because I don't know big words.
You can say you know big words. You can just like say you just prefer not to use them.
I don't know if it's a big word.
The last cases we had, I literally told people where the definition of the word fuck comes from. That's literally where I'm at with things. Like I explained where the middle finger came from and the F word. That's basically where I'm at as far as like where I'm going with it.
I like that.
Yeah, I didn't really get very far. I'm not really English.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you, Grits. My bad.
Tell him. Well, tell him, B. That's when you say, Grits, shut up.
No, you got a good Grits, mannerism. No,
wait.
So.
No, I'm just letting you stop. I'm sorry. I'm just messing. Okay. I love you, Grits. My favorite thing you do is when people are like talking and stuff, and then you'll want to remember something, and everyone's forgotten about what it is, and then you're like, you scream it out loud. You're like, because you don't want to forget. You're like, whatever. And then everyone's like, oh yeah.
No, I actually used to have a huge problem like just blurting out random shit that had nothing to do relative to the conversation, and then I'd have to explain like to all my friends like how to get back there. And so it's very familiar, but I'm a lot better at keeping things on some sort of topic that I can remember. Like in certain Cosmos Hostess spaces, I like literally will sit there and write out a whole paragraph because I just can't get in sometimes, you know.
Yeah, Haas goes on. I go on for rants. Haas goes on for rants, bro.
I love the guy though. They're authentic.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's really funny? It Grits works out perfectly for being one of the mods for the show, because I will do the same thing. And when he interjects, though, it's like my personality and his personality work well, because I can pivot and like it's nothing to me. Like even if he just like interjects, it works well because I need somebody to say stop, look, squirrel, and I'll go that way with
him. Oh yeah. So
it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm actually a lot more comfortable as a number two that way. Like, people want me to actually host spaces and then run development teams and stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm like, you have to understand me as a person. I'm a fucking beta. I'm married to a large black man. Like, figure it out.
You're the on Star Trek, you're number two, right? It's a powerful, powerful position, buddy. It's needed, man.
Isn't number two called number one?
on Star Trek? I'm sorry, I'm a nerd.
Is it?
It's his number one. Yeah. Is it? He calls him number one.
Number one. That's, you are absolutely right.
He goes number one.
You're the number one. You're number one.
That's his number one.
That's a thing. Thanks for bringing that up. I would have kept saying that without knowing.
Yeah, I'm a Star Trek nerd also. Old Star Trek, not the new stuff.
Oh, come on, guys. You have not been watching the remakes of the Star Trek? They remade episodes from the old Captain Kirk?
No, I stopped.
I'm straight
Deep Space Nine, I stopped. Deep Space Nine was the best. And after that, I was just like, fuck.
Voyager and yeah, after Voyager, pretty much that's it.
What was first, Voyager or Deep Space Nine? It was...
I think Deep Space Nine is first. But after Voyager, that's it. Like,
I remember watching all that stuff. Talk about being old. Jeez Louise.
Bro, I remember when Star Trek Next Generation came on, and every time that music came on, I was excited as hell. I was ready to
on the tube TV.
Gone before.
You guys ever seen that... I don't know if it's a meme or whatever it was, but it was going around for a little while where like the mom would come out and be like, move, bitch, and just pushes the child or whatever out of the way so that they can get where they wanted to get. That's how I felt whenever that show, like, you know, my kids nowadays, they don't have fucking commercials and stuff like that. But I remember like Simpsons would come on or like Star Trek or anything like that. You would hear the theme. Oh, God, I'm so old. Do you guys remember Alien Nation? No, it was about like. Like aliens were amongst us when they were like allergic to salt water, but it was like a sitcom like show. Anyway, whatever. See, I'm so old. You guys don't think.
Wait a minute. I thought they were. Were those the ones that drank the like rotten milk like in the cabinet?
They had their heads were that. Like they had like touched like you. Right?
That was a messed up show for a kid to watch. They were like.
I remember like the tick and the head.
Still, I remember when those commercials would cut and then the actual theme would come on. I remember it was the same way. I'd be like, move, bitch. And I'd be like jumping over the couch just to get into position to watch my show. Loved it. Loved watching Star Trek. What's up, Rusty?
I remember when that movie that William Shatner did with Patrick Stewart. And then I found out that they actually just hated each other after. I was like, oh.
That blew my mind how much they didn't like each other.
Well, I'm not surprised, but you know,
yeah,
it's kind of funny how much dislike each other.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Why did they dislike each other?
Well, William Shatner is kind of like, I don't know, a womanizer type old person boomer. And Patrick Stewart is a lot newer, conservative, I guess. He's a fan of gay people. Like he's like, you know, his best friend is gay, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, they were complete different personalities.
Like Sulu didn't get along with Patrick Stewart, whatever his name is either. Like you know, all that stuff. Like, I think it's just a very like, you know, left versus right thing.
When you watch it though, with knowing how much like certain characters didn't like each other, and then when you go back and watch the old series, and you see some of the facial expressions in there, you go, oh, that motherfucker was actually. Really didn't like them.
Yeah,
like you can see it. You can see it in their face. It was like you know, their expressions. You could tell. You could tell. Like,
that was a role. William Shatner did do some crazy, like, legendary stuff for his time, though. Like, they had the first interracial kiss on TV, and he they told him not to do it, but he did it, and apparently he screwed up every other scene except that one, so that they would get it in.
Yeah. It is what it is, man. The times have definitely changed for the. Yeah. I don't, definitely for the better.
I understand that relationship.
Yeah.
Because me and my dad like didn't talk for 10 years for obvious reasons, but you know I understand that whole like mindset, like that versus that anyway.
Ooh, going way off topic there, though, guys.
Star Trek.
Seriously, though, we need to have you on the show. I'm gonna put pressure on you right now. Pressure's on. Like I would love to have you, and even if a representative, if you want to bring him on as well, and we could talk about everything. Like it's really funny. I don't know where Jerry went, but like you really do. You do have a pleasant voice. As weird as that sounds, you really do have a pleasant voice. But I never thought of it like, oh yeah, you sound like somebody that's on the radio. Like you definitely sound like somebody that could be on the radio.
You should start a podcast.
I agree with that too. She does have a perfect radio voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What,
it's really hard because I actually try my best not to sound like too ghetto or anything. because I'm originally from New York City.
I was just about to say, I knew you were from New York City.
And then I was like,
yeah, she's got
I try to like, I do everything I can just because I don't want to sound like, I don't know. I just, I don't want to sound too ghetto because I feel like I'm not taken seriously.
Does hey, that make some sense? Some of the biggest comedians have your accent. Like, look at Bill Burr. Massive, right?
Who?
Bill Burr, you know, the comedian.
Oh, I love him. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He is hilarious.
He's got that whole accent and he uses it. It's great.
I don't know. I'm a fan of just keep it real, girl. Just speak how the fuck you want to speak and like, fuck them.
Oh, I am. I trained myself, so I only get like ghetto when I get mad at my kids or like, you know.
You should try doing a podcast.
Something didn't happen right, and I'm like, you know, you I guys get all Hispanic and start freaking out, and sounds keep coming out, and it's, you know.
You guys want to know what I actually sound like? I know it doesn't, because I'm the same way. When growing up in Hawaii, go and Google later on Hawaiian pigeon. And see what those people sound like. That's what I actually sound like. Like when you said, when I get mad at my sons and stuff like that, like, or when I get really, really going on something, like my pigeon will come out. My original accent will come out really, really strong. But that's how I actually sound like. I'm like you, B. I've trained myself for a long, long time because I always thought I wasn't going to be taken seriously if I didn't speak at least somewhat more clear than the original, tongue of where I grew up in Hawaii. Like it's very, very, it's night and day different. And I have a twin brother. I don't know if a lot of you guys don't know this about me. So I have an actual identical twin brother that's 19 minutes younger than me, that he still speaks like that till this day. And whenever I talk, like whenever I'm around him or talking to him or when somebody else is, it's baffling. It's mind blowing to them because we sound completely different. If you guys go and just Google Hawaiian pigeon, like, that's what I grew up speaking like the whole time.
I don't have to worry about accents. I just sound retarded.
No. Listen. So like, I think what made me change was, I was an assistant to a CEO and, he kind of like, he looked at me and he was like, you know, I really like when you do that little Latina ghetto thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, you know, when you know, like when you act, can you do that for me? I felt like a little monkey. And I was like, all right, I need to change how I talk.
I fucking quit.
Not you really, but I like the job. You should have just like snapped your fingers in like a Z and tell him that you'll like slap his ass or something. Something
fun. He'd probably like that, and I was like, not gonna be his clown. You know what I mean?
What is that? Wasn't that from In Living Color, where he's like, around the world.
Oh, two snaps in a circle, or something.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. I actually learned a big problem with like what I and the way I approach things is like I don't have any. I'm too serious, and I need to throw like jokes and things. And after I start, I spent like 6 months like doing one liners on Reddit, and started getting pretty good at it. And now sometimes I make good jokes, but yeah, you need to have some comedy in your life. Otherwise, you just have like weird interactions all the time.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, man. You got to learn how to laugh at things. Definitely got to learn how to laugh at things. Hey, I know we're so. This is supposed to be a Cosmos DeFi NFT. Then we've totally we were there. We went totally down the rabbit hole.
And you want me to be on your show to help you, and I'm over here talking about all kinds of nonsense.
I can focus for an hour, maybe.
NFTs are life.
Maybe. So okay, we talked about NFTs. We talked about earlier on. If you guys were here, I can't understand. You guys are amazing if you guys have been here that long. We were talking about sustainability and value use cases for NFT developers or project launchers in regards to, especially we were talking about games, and we were talking about NFT projects that are also now partnered with validators or are also doing DAOs and running validators themselves. So we were talking about that, and we're talking about the long-term sustainability and a longevity of that business model for NFT in regards, not necessarily the NFT launchers, but with the site being from the actual investor of the NFT, because right, like we want to know as an investor, as a minter, as a delegator, right, as an ecosystem participant, we want to know that we are purchasing something more often than not that is going to accumulate in hopeful value over time. and not just be something. Some of them, again, got to put that caveat out there. You just buy NFTs to buy NFTs because you want to be supportive and you like the art, right? That should be the very first primary thing that you ever buy an NFT for. And I don't want anybody to ever kid themselves about that fact. If you buy any NFT, make sure that you're buying it first and foremost because, one, you like what you're seeing in front of you. You actually appreciate the art, and regardless of what use case or value proposition might or might not be there for you, you are buying it because you want to be supportive of the launcher, the NFT project developer, and everybody in between. So please remember that when you buy an NFT, you're buying it because you like the NFT. Then you can think about, like, maybe, you know, hopefully that NFT goes up in value. But if you buy it with that first thing in mind, none of that really fucking matters, right? So with that, though, being said, a lot of people do not buy that buy NFTs because they enjoy it. They want to buy it because it will hopefully give them a better return long term. And with that being the concern right now that we are dealing with, and we've been dealing with in not just the Cosmos space, but as NFT developers and or purchasers in the Cosmos or in the crypto space in general, like, my question was to everybody is, do you think it's actually a viable, sustainable, and healthy practice? And we can talk about specifically, right? Because it is a little unique when it comes to the Cosmos ecosystem, the way that we're set up. Do you think that it is a long-term, realistic, sustainable thing for NFT developers and minters and or validators? Because now they're kind of one and the same. They have agreements and or partnerships and or they're running it themselves. Do you think that that is a long-term beneficial thing that is going to actually play out positively for the investor? Not necessarily the we can talk about the developer or the launcher of the NFT, but let's first tackle the investor side of things. Do you think that this is actually a good thing for the investors to participate in over a long period? Anybody got any thoughts? Anybody think that that's actually...
Can I ask you a question? Do you mean like not selling their NFTs and just holding them, hold on to their wallet, them in their wallet and just...
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
And do you think that that's good for the project or if it's something that's not sustainable? Is that what
you're... No. So you think so? People that are speculating to buy... Sorry, my son's like trying to get onto Apex now that it downloaded on my laptop. Here we go. Bing. Sorry, dad moment.
I mean, I'll come in here if you want. I got a few feelings on this validator NFT thing.
Please do, go ahead.
So, I mean, it's definitely something that is better than not. If they were not doing this, it leaves them free to do a lot of other things that, you know, may or may not be ruggy or whatever you want to call it. With this whole new kind of trend of, you know, sell out your NFT, then build a validator node and continue operating on the ecosystem, like, it binds them to the community. It forces them to stay and continue, you know, being a part of the whole thing, even if they're not going to make more NFTs. And offering that, you know, little discount, I mean, it's beneficial for both parties. And it helps get us these validators that are more incentivized to work harder to make sure that they are going to continue A, making money for themselves, and B, making money for their, you know, holders, their clients, their whoever you want to call them. And while it's not super sustainable that people just keep doing that, the big, you know, quote unquote blue chip projects are definitely, like, you know, gonna be there longer now because they are dedicated to this ecosystem. You know,
right. And I think so. I agree with the vast majority. Well, Beck, actually, I agree with pretty much everything you said, especially when you said that it's actually not a sustainable thing long term. I don't think that it's a healthy, sustainable thing long term for the investor and or the way that they're doing it. As far as, you know, and there's a couple of ways that they can fix this as far as the developers or the NFT launchers and validator runners. And we talked about that earlier on or whatnot, but I definitely, like, I think that when they, especially in the regards to validators, like, right, the ones that are the NFT projects that are trying to turn themselves into with the profits of the NFTs into a validator setup where they're actually providing a service, which is, like you said, good for the ecosystem. It incentivizes them to stick around and promote the health of the ecosystem for everybody involved in it. It's definitely a different situation than some of these other NFT projects that are trying to promote different use cases or utility or value cases for their minters. The one thing that I have a problem with and I'm worried about, not really have a problem with that, I'm worried about though, is of course, when you, again, I'm always trying to think of it as like the investor, right? When you ask somebody to mint an NFT, because you're going to give them, right? That again, correct me if I'm wrong about this, like the vast majority of people are saying that have the same goal, we're going to give you a discount to our validator once we run up our, like we're going to use the profits to run up this validator node and let's just say stars, right? And we're going to get into hopefully the active set because you will hopefully bring your delegations, which again is just asking somebody to bring more risk out of their pocket to bring you and fund your operations as the NFT developer and or node operator. You know, it kind of for as me, as far as like the investor of the NFT, it kind of like makes me pause sometimes because not only are you asking me to one, fund your operation that could or could not actually see itself through to get you into the active validator, to get you into a validator setup where you're actually in an active validator set. But two, on top of that, you're actually asking me on top of what I also originally spent to mint the NFT to bring further delegations that I've purchased as far as the asset goes and stick them onto your brand new fresh validator node setup. So again, it's like you have to bring extra liquidity. And what they're asking people to do is bring double liquidity, not just the NFT mint, but and then to stick with them because you're giving them a discount, right? So like the only way that they actually get benefit from purchasing the NFT is to bring more liquidity to this space. And I guess that's kind of where my focus of the question is. Is it a
healthy thing to promote
those kind of things?
We get that whole concept, but like you're also running up against the whole idea of like old money versus new money. Do you want to sit here and continue perpetuating these massive validator nodes that, you know, hold, you know, 5% voting power versus, you know, all of a sudden trying to make somebody new who's hungry for it, who wants to actually get after it, you know, bringing them in?
I definitely are you
going to be delegating
wanting to get to be new? I definitely want to promote decentralization and then you're getting away from the top, you know, 10, because I agree, like, you know, getting to these lower active validator sets is definitely more healthy for the ecosystem. But then again, like, I could always delegate to somebody that I don't have to make all these additional purchases to get into the active set.
That you don't have to do that.
Running it and doing that themselves.
So this brings you right back to like, why are you buying an NFT? Do you buy it because you want, you know, value from it? Are you buying because you like the art? Or are you buying it just because it's the cool shit to do? And you know, good on them for doing something additional with what you already paid them with. Like, regardless of whether you're holding, you can delegate to these individuals after that fact. So even if you're not holding one of their NFTs, you know, you still are willing to delegate to someone. So why not this individual? Why not hold that NFT?
You're going to get a discount for when you purchase the NFT. Right. No, I agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate in the conversation, right? Because I'm always trying to think of like the viability of a business practice long term. And I'm always trying to think of the pitfalls for both sides of, again, I hopefully you guys aren't mistaking me. I'm not trying to FUD. Again, I have personal friends and relationships with lots of individual projects that are doing exactly the same thing. So please don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to think of both sides. For the health of the ecosystem, because I want these projects and these node operators, these NFT developers to actually be practicing viable, long, sustainable decision-making with their, you know, with whatever the practice that they're doing. So I just want to make sure that it's feasible for everybody, you know, not just the node operator and investor, but like how, I guess I always think too, like, okay, so let's flip it and think about, okay, so it makes sense. Let's just say it makes sense for the investor, for the mentor, for the delegator. For the NFT developer / node operator, how do you combat the ever-going cycle of money coming in and out, like redelegation? Like I was saying earlier, like some point, like if delegators are smart about their long-term investments, like you need to realize profits, right? And that means undelegating and unlocking your delegations to the nodes, how do you keep incentivizing new fresh money if that was how you originally got into it, with without always continuously like minting out that, because you know we see it all the time, like these, like even say node operators that don't necessarily actually run NFT projects but actually have agreements with NFT project launchers. To like one of the biggest ones, I could always say like Rhino and Knots, right? Like they're my personal friends. Like they actually have an agreement. They don't have, Knots isn't the team that actually runs the validator, but they have an agreement with Rhino to get discounts just for holding their Knots. But like, so it incentivizes the NFT project to keep putting out these projects, these NFTs, right? Because you can keep making these agreements and stuff like that. And it also helps out the a node operator. But my question is, what happens if, you know, for whatever reason that relationship crumbles, or what happens if the NFT for the node operator stops becoming a sought after thing? Like what happens when all of those things or variables stop? Like how are you going to sustain your delegations and stay in the active set over a long period of time? That's right. Those are the kind of questions that I ask myself. Like there's multiple things that I've already thought about, like that they could do, like obviously self-delegations to a point where you don't have to be reliant on any kind of agreement or any kind of further project going down. But again, we saw that a lot of people that are running node operators, a lot of them don't actually self-delegate big amounts because of safety security reasons. But you I mean, you could do that for a period of time until you do sustain yourself quite a way from dropping out of the active set. But like, you know, I just can't help but think, is it a passing fad with these agreements between node operators / both, like maybe you're doing both, or NFT developers, or is this an actual sustainable thing or business practice that we're going to be seeing and being able to stick with over a long period of time in our ecosystem?
I feel like that's a question you need to ask all the validators, not just the NFT based ones, because like that is a big question.
Yeah. And it is. And again, I agree. It is. It's a huge question. But you know, it is one of those for the health of the ecosystem and that we're in. It is definitely a fad that we're seeing right now, right? Like the agreements between them. Because again, it makes sense for the validators to try to capture more delegations. And then you know, it also makes sense because you can bring a new value case for the NFT developers when you do make those connections, and or if you just run your own node, like you said, if you create a service off of the profits that you've already made from minting your NFTs, and then you know try to give your NFT holders an added benefit with whether it be a discount or whatever you want to call it. Like it, I get it. It's a good thing, especially for those ones that are doing it that way, because ultimately you are providing a needed service, which is valuable in itself. But again, I was just worried for my friends and worry for some of the validators, that some of them that I don't even know that are doing it, because I go, well, what happens again? Like I said, if any one of those dominoes gets taken away from the line of dominoes falling, like now that cool effect stops, like the chain just, you know, of profitability, sustainability, just, you know, it doesn't keep falling. That doesn't make the cool effect that we like to watch when we stack dominoes and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of curious to see if, or wonder, you know, and get other people's takes. Is it me being overly cautious or overly paranoid about that situation, or is it, do you guys really think that that's actually a viable, sustainable thing over a long period of time for our ecosystem?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of big questions to come across there. And I can't obviously speak for, you know, anyone else, especially since Jerry left, like he would talk for himself here if he could. But as far as, you know, my own plan is this kind of idea goes, is that, you know, run your own validator node until, you know, it's self-sufficient enough to then actually start building out into a new chain or something to that extent. Like it's one step to get to another, really. If they continue to, you know, be a validator node for that original chain, like great, you know, you're just helping keep the ecosystem going. But that's kind of a big question about everyone in the ecosystem needs to ask themselves, like, are we going to keep doing this? Is this sustainable? Why are we doing this? Is it making money for us? Is it making money for the holders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So, that's the last I'll say on it.
No. It's great. Like again, I kind of get, that's kind of where it's funny, because like, that's how I formulated the discussion, like in my own head, right? Like, oh wow. It's such a big thought might as well just ask the community as well, because I got kind of stuck the same way. It's like, it's a question that has so many different variables where it's good in a lot of ways, but it's bad also in a lot of different ways as well. So yeah, I just kind of, I can't help but wonder if, especially for the NFT project developers that do not have the ones, and I guess maybe this is where I could actually kind of like hone in and speak a little bit more directly to the NFT project developers or birthers in this space that are trying to build value by making these kind of, I don't want to say promises or whatnot, the claims of value for minting is very dangerous, especially if you're not taking the validation part of it into your own hands in some kind of form or fashion. Like, I get really nervous when partnerships happen, because I've been in businesses before where, you know, it starts off great, but for whatever reason, you know, whatever moral reason or financial reason, the partnership dissolves. And then the NFT artist, like, you get kind of just stuck with all the people that minted your NFTs holding the bag of going, oh, well, shit, like, now we don't actually have a value case because XYB validator doesn't like us anymore. We're not working with them. Like, how do we actually sustain ourselves long-term and bring actual value with our NFTs if they're not the ones actually taking matters into their own hands, and all they have is like a verbal or even a written, agreement with a validator? So I don't know. I think NFT projects that are doing stuff like that is definitely maybe I would suggest, you know, maybe at bare minimum, think about taking it into your own hands instead of entrusting your value use case for your NFTs into another third party. Like, that's dangerous. It's dangerous business practices. You know, you never want to say, like, my NFT only has value as long as this business agreement is sustained. Because, you know, God forbid, what if that person dies that's running your validator? What if, you know, you say something about their mama and it was a harmless joke, but they don't like it anymore? And then everybody that bought your NFT gets stuck, kind of thing. So it's I don't know. I've been thinking about those kind of things a lot lately, especially with NFTs, DAOs, and especially the Cosmos ecosystem. I just kind of want to see what other people think about, like, NFT projects that are doing that. And or even there's some NFT projects that are doing some really innovative stuff on their own with their DAOs and stuff like that. But that's a whole different conversation. Any thoughts? What's up, Gelato? I'd love to hear about you guys, by the way. Hopefully I said that right. But love to hear about you guys. Actually, yeah, no pressure, but pressure. Tell us about your gambling. Sorry, I saw it and all of a sudden was like, wait a minute. I want to be a DJ and talk about gambling.
What is it, Gelato?
I'm so conservative, but I'm not gonna lie. I do like gambling every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm not really much.
Gambling is fun.
It is, yeah. When you win.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That is true. With that being said, though, I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse. I'm not. Again, I just want to. I'm always playing devil's advocate. I don't want to sound like I'm fudding anybody and or speaking down about current business practices or current endeavors in the past. I just always like to, like, think about both sides, you know?
Both sides of the dead horse.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, hopefully I'm not interrupting. My name is Risby. I'm one of the co-founders of Gelato.
What's going on, my friend? How's your day going?
Pretty great. Got out of a bunch of meetings. Was listening to you guys. Yeah, great conversations are happening. I love it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I know I was listening to one of your guys's, I think it was Spaces just recently, where you guys were talking, I believe, was it Cosmos Haas that you guys spoke to? I forget. I listen to so many Spaces, sometimes forget who's hosting them. But I was listening to what you guys are working on and what you guys are trying to deploy in the Cosmos ecosystem. And I absolutely love it. Like I said, I'm kind of a degen deep down inside. I love gambling here or there. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing and the most recent airdrop that I just, guys, I want to let you guys know, I actually, I did it. I got my airdrop. So it's good. It's good cooties. Nothing bad happened. You guys can go and claim it. Can you tell us anything further about your guys' platform and what you guys are trying to build?
Yeah, definitely. What we ultimately want is a gaming platform that's built within Cosmos. And initially, we, the team, will build out most of the games. But we kind of want to get to a point where we can hand off the game building to the community, where someone can go build something using our tools, get it live in testnet, use governance to get it into, you know, mainnet. Earlier today, we were talking to the Sunnyside Reapers about their potential upcoming games. And they were kind of like, hey, you know, we don't currently have a way to, you know, make any type of revenue in our game. Could we maybe hook this up to Gelato in the future? And instantly, you know, myself and my other co-founder, Daniel, was like, yeah, this is exactly what we want. If you guys have an interesting card game and you want us to hook up to Gelato so you could take benefit of everyone using your IBC assets to bet and play, we would 100% be on board with that. So that's kind of more of what we want to see in the future. All the different games we build, we want to highlight to people the possibilities. After that, take that, make some crazy shit. Last night on my way back from Connecticut, I was listening to the IBC gang Twitter space, and they were talking about a potential game where you actually, you know, destroy NFTs. I was like, wow, it's kind of interesting. It kind of would be cool for all these NFTs to come onto the Juno chain. We have some type of game where they actually destroy the NFTs. I don't know, just stuff like that kind of just blows my mind.
Ooh, that'd be some high risk stuff right there.
Man, you know, if you guys make a good platform for building a game, I'm in. I got a whole game ready to go.
That's our plan. We want to build out the framework and all the tooling and everything. So this way, once we are ready to onboard other people to build our games, you kind of have everything you need. You know, the reason why we picked Juno, because Juno is great from a developer experience. We have everything we need. And we pretty much spend most of our time focused on our business logic, building out the games, not all the other side stuff that you have to do on a bunch of other chains. So we want to bring that same exact experience, but to building games and having people who build it actually profit off it. All your game, if you create a game and it's on a Gelato platform, just like an NFT, you should get royalties from every game that's played.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I think the people that develop it should definitely, like we were talking about earlier, right? Like you build, you got to pay. Like that's just the name of the game, guys. But yeah, I'm super, super interested, especially in listening to some of the deeper tech. And I don't know if you want to get into it. And admittingly, guys, I got to go in a little bit to take my sons to jiu-jitsu. So I don't know how much more longer I can go on with the space. But in specifically what you guys were talking about as far as your randomization mechanism to ensure like that it is kind of like a more fair, random kind of gambling thing. I'm so lost when it comes to technicals and stuff like that. But like, I was really interested because that's, I think Grits was talking about it earlier and a couple of other people in another space where randomization, especially, you know, on chain is not really random unless you actually have certain things set forth. And did I understand that correctly?
There's random.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, there's no random. We don't have quantum computers yet.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we thought it kind of would be interesting. Because our games are dependent on players joining, being able to use players coming into the game as part of our randomness generator. So that's something our other co-founder, Daniel, is currently testing with a bunch of made-up games. We're starting to see a lot of success. We're actually going to be opening up Testnet, hopefully in a week or two, where players on our Discord and other people part of the community can come test it out. But we did open source our smart contract. We also want to turn our randomness library into something other people can consume, part of Cosmos as well, too. So this is something we definitely plan on creating more content around. And definitely looking forward to people, you know, diving into our randomness algorithm and tell us if it's good enough. Maybe there's something additional we can do to make it better.
Yeah, I see algorithm actually has an interesting, like, the way their entire chain works is basically random. They verify other coins transactions with existing coins, I guess, randomly, and they use that mechanism for all sorts of things, which I find kind of interesting.
There is like a random oracle, I think, I forget the name of it, but it was built on Terra, still accessible. We just felt that infrastructure was way too heavy. There was this whole concept of workers, and this big network that was built to create randomness. We're like, hey, that's way too much. I think the way we have done it is pretty lightweight, hoping it's, you know, good enough. And we're definitely looking forward to making it better as time goes on.
It's probably better from a point of failure perspective. You can adjust it if need be. So
exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really excited to see what you guys, you know, end up being able to produce. I know Homestead, I'm sorry, Homestead, if I'm overstepping myself. Hopefully I can say this, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, is one of your guys' mods or working with you guys. We actually have Homestead on Thursdays designated talking about NFT things on our YouTube channel. Homestead. And I'm just going to throw it out there. I would love to have you and Homestead on the channel sometime so that you guys can show everybody, or maybe even just talk about, if you guys can't show just yet, what you guys are building.
Is Homestead- we definitely would love that.
Yeah, I'm sure we can arrange that. I was talking with the team in the Gelato Discord yesterday, I think, and they were saying next week for them might be good to get on IBC Gang live stream.
When did you start modding for them?
I started modding when they brought me into the core team.
Oh, well, congratulations. I'm
just trying to help build the community. Kind of one of my things that I said to them was like, the more you try and bring in every different community project in Cosmos, the more this becomes a project that has a chance of really getting going, especially in this market. And that was kind of my thought, is like, who's still here? Well, the NFT community, the degens, that type of people, people that are in it for the tech or in it because they love Cosmos that much that, you know, the market turn didn't scare them away. And so if we can get a community built out of those people, I figure this project can survive. And if it makes it till when new money's coming back in big time again, it could be pretty awesome in a year or two. So yeah, I don't know. That's how I got in. I just talked to him about how we can build this into a real Cosmos community project.
Well, you know, I'll definitely say having you has been incredible. We really think there's an amazing opportunity to integrate NFTs really well into our platform. So Homestead's really been great in helping us form partnerships, building our community. Like, this feels like a legitimate project. I'm super excited, and I love having amazing people like him on the team.
Yeah, no, I think you guys, I was just going to say, I think you guys did really, really well with picking up Homestead on there. And, you know, I love gambling. It's obviously, right, it's one of the oldest pastimes for human beings in general. Everybody loves a little bit of gambling. We've been doing it ever since God knows when. And now that you guys are actually able to, yeah, now that you guys are able to take it a step further and incorporate, like you said, Sunnyside Reapers and, like, you know, we just had him up here. I don't know where he went. Or any other NFT project that has something similar, like, you guys can just take that another step forward. So I think that's really, really interesting. And I would love to have you guys on the channel. Get with Homestead, or I'll get with Homestead and try to set that up. But I feel bad because I do have to run and get these boys to the jiu-jitsu class. I really appreciated the space today, guys. I thought we had some really interesting discussions, some real discussions. And hopefully I did not offend anybody, because that was not my intentions at all. When I'm questioning, you know, certain business practices or value propositions or pitches that people have been doing, not my intentions whatsoever. I just always want to test the boundaries and see if we can improve it for not only the launchers, the developers, but the investors, the holders, the delegators, the mentors, right? That's all my intention was. So hopefully that was translated. I don't think it was, but hopefully you guys understand it now and is now translated better. But with that being said, guys, I can't wait to do another Spaces. Be on the lookout for IBC Gang YouTube channel. We go live Monday through Friday, 9:15 Central Standard Time in the morning. We'll see you guys next time. I got to get out of here.
Peace,
guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Cosmos, DeFi, and NFTs, a chat hosted by CryptoTank, recorded on Tuesday, July 26, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush.
Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse, but in the universe, I'm just writing some words, enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead. Or put it in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the rocks came tumbling down all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal? I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble.
Channel Spaces.